Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Third and five. Here it is, third and five. Cousins in the gun. Three receivers right. Mooney left. Cousins back. Cousins looking. Puts it in the air. Touchdown. Right. He's got it to London in the corner of the end zone.
Right in front of Slay.
34 seconds left. 21-21. The ball is spotted. The kick is away. And the kick is good. Falcons lead, believe it or not, 22-21. 22-21 with 34 seconds left.
Amazing.
I cannot believe what has happened.
Neither could we. The voice of Mel Reese last night alongside Mike Quick. Eagles lose 22-21, a game that at the two-minute warning you felt like was in the bag. Joining us right now to talk about it is the voice you heard right there, Mel Reese. Merrill. Tough morning. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing like everybody else. You know, we're all feeling great after an Eagles win and after a collapse like that. A nightmarish finish. It's tough to get out of bed.
It is, Merrill, and we're talking through what happened last night. Let's talk through the sequence before the Falcons got the ball back. Merrill, what were your thoughts on the decision to throw the ball? I mean, obviously the play call and the design worked. Saquon was wide open. Unfortunately, he dropped the ball, but that whole sequence, not running it, you know, I thought just gave the Falcons more time to work with on that final drive.
Well, I've been debating this with my son all morning, but I want to tell you something. I actually like the way they set that up. They put the ball in Saquon's hands, and Saquon is about as dependable a person as you have on the field. He's such a great player, and they set it up. I thought it was a great call to end the game, basically end the game. And if you threw him that pass 1,000 times, I think he'd catch it 999. It was perfectly delivered. It was an easy little lob, and he just dropped it, inexplicably dropped it, and still, they had the opportunity right there after the field goal. All they had to do was stop. They were not in field goal range. I mean, they had to just stop them from going 70 yards after the kickoff. And they couldn't. That's what disturbed me the most. That is when a defense, and Hugh will tell you this, wants to be on the field to seal the win.
Well, that is it, and that's the time they had to come up and make a stop. And, Merrill, they couldn't do it, and unfortunately, there was no pressure. I mean, I keep coming back to that because all the great Eagles teams we've seen, Merrill, the teams that have made the Super Bowl, you know, twice in the last 7 years, they got after the quarterback, and it just felt like Kirk Cousins was just holding the ball and had as much time as he needed that final drive.
He did. I mean, you either pick it up on the back end where you cover like a blanket or you rush the quarterback, and there was neither. The disturbing thing was that the receivers were so wide open and they couldn't even keep them on the center of the field to run the clock. They were open. They sashayed out of bounds. It just looked absolutely elementary the way they moved downfield.
Merrill, what did you make of the way Jalen played last night? I thought a lot of good early. His legs were, you know, very impactful in this game, and they needed that without A.J. Brown. But then, unfortunately, late when they had a chance where they probably needed, I don't know, 15, 17 yards for a legitimate field goal from Jake Elliott, the interception happens to end the game.
Yeah, that's a shame because I thought he played very well. I thought he was a leader out there, and I thought the running people have said to me, well, you know, he looks like he's lost some speed or athleticism. No, he hasn't. Jalen Hurts is still just as dangerous when there's a bit of air. He can go through anything. So I thought he played well. I thought he threw a lot of very, very good passes. Unfortunately, it ended with the pressure on him and an ill-advised throw that was picked off. But that happens. But I think overall, Jalen played very, very well.
Merrill, what do you make of the decision early in the game by the Eagles and Coach Sirianni to not kick a field goal in the first quarter? I know we're in an era now where that is pretty common and teams always want to go for it on fourth down, but I just thought in that spot without A.J. Brown, let's put some points on the board. Let's get a field goal there. They chose not to. What did you make of that when it happened?
Joe, I said it before it happened. When they were down there, I said, after you work this hard, you're down this deep, you cannot afford to go away without any points. I think it's very important that we get points on the board first, take a lead. And I felt at that point, as I said, go for the field goal. Take the 3 points and then go back and play defense and score again. But I felt that that was a decision that was, look, you're playing about analytics. That's what they go by today, and be aggressive. But I just still believe that when you're inside the 20, don't come away without points. Especially that early in the game. I think it's big to get a lift, put points on the board. I did not agree with that decision, quite honestly. I understand why he made it, and I think there are a lot of coaches that will make that same call, but as far as I'm concerned, points are necessary, and it gives you a big lift when you have a good drive and it's culminated with 3 points.
Merrill, let's look ahead to Sunday. In New Orleans, it's a short week, and the game, just from my perspective, feels different than it did when the schedule came out. You know, I didn't know what to make of the Saints. Probably, I thought, you know, kind of a mediocre team. That's what they've been the last few years. And then, Merrill, the first 2 weeks of the season, they've put 91 points on the board and look like a juggernaut all out of nowhere offensively. What do you think about this game coming up now on a short week Sunday in New Orleans?
Well, you are right. When I looked at the schedule, this is why I never put W's and L's up the night that the schedule comes out, because you don't really know how things are going to develop and who's going to be healthy. I mean, if you looked ahead to this game, you're thinking of A.J. Brown being out there. If A.J. Brown is out there last night, they probably win. But aside from that, you never really know. And even though they have been hot for 2 weeks, look how dominating Dallas looked the first week against Cleveland, and how poor they looked against New Orleans. So it's still too early to crown anybody and start saying, well, they're a sure bet to go to the NFC final, you know, championship game. It's very, very early. And the same with the Eagles right now. I'm disappointed like everybody else today. I think the defense certainly is not playing the way we expect them to play against the run and against they've given up too many chunk plays, too many X plays, and they have not played the way you'd like them to play, and I think Vic Fangio would tell you the same thing. But it's still early. It is after 2 games, and they scored a lot of points. That could change.
It can. Hopefully it does. Merrill, we always appreciate your time, and enjoy the calls. We'll talk to you on Sunday for the Saints game. Thank you, Merrill.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Hugh.
There he goes. Merrill Reese there. Disappointed in the defense like the rest of us. So Merrill was against the idea of going for the fourth down early. He was fine with the play call in the fourth quarter for a 3rd and 3, the throw to Saquon Barkley, which, again, he catches the ball, the game is over. I just wish Sirianni could give me all 3 decisions at once and, like, say, this is why I did this. Because
you mean, like, you want it to be a little bit more linear?
Linear.
It didn't feel linear. It
aggression,
felt scattershot.
Yeah, right. Aggression or conservative. Like, just have an identity and don't just – it just feels like everyone is its own independent decision. And that's
– it's not – like, it's no rhyme or reason.
It doesn't work that way.
It's no rhyme or reason, like, going into the game plan. It's a little different. And Merrill alluded to it. I think analytics – has a lot to do
it does.
With a lot of decisions that are made. And it flies in the face of us old heads for the most part, because it's like, you know, when we were here this morning, I had to be sure. I had to ask Seth, I'm like, hold up, you know, like on that last play, if you run the ball, the clock is running, correct? Because it felt like they didn't know the clock was going to run the time off. So that's why I had to, you know, just to be reassured. And, you know, he confirmed it for me, but it's like, there are certain things that I feel like, even though analytics plays a huge part in everything that we do nowadays, sometimes you got to go with your gut.
Well, so here's the thing on the analytics, and I'm fine with that. I think the Eagles used it well. Doug Peterson used it. But it's not like a black and white thing. There's no A.J. Brown on the field. That changes that first quarter decision. Like, who are the receivers on the field? 160-pound Devontae, and I know he had a red zone touchdown later in the game, but like it's more challenging for him in the red zone to get himself.
Yeah, it's because it's more physical,
right.
and
you don't have AJ. It's just you like that spot. Normally, you have AJ on the field. It's like it's a different story. You have one of the best big body receivers in the NFL, so that one's confusing. And then late, I get it. It's the play quote unquote worked, but you also have a quarterback on the other side who's coming off an Achilles. Like, he can't move up and down the field
well. Yeah,
he's
not the guy that he used to be.
So those 40 seconds matter to me, though. Let's go to the phone lines here. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Oh, calm down, boy. I keep telling you, man. Listen, yeah, I was scared. I got my dog, and I still got my dog, man. Because next week it's going to be even worse, probably. But let me cook for a minute. My thing is, preparation beats talent any day. And that's the whole thing. We're not prepared for the teams that we're playing against. If you say you're looking at the films and all that, then you should know what type of quarterback you're up against and what type of, you know, offense that's going to be ran against you. They're not doing any of that, man. And the reason why I said it's going to be 9-7-1 this season is not because of the players. A little bit because of the players, but mainly because of the coaches. Because you know what I'm seeing?
What you saying?
The same thing as last season.
What's that?
The same formation, the same one-dimensional team. Now, y'all trying to build the team around one person. And I'm not saying that's exactly what it is, but that's what it looks like. Now, when they shut down Saquon, like I keep saying, you got to get Goddard involved. He's 6'5". I mean, how can you miss this big target? You're not getting them involved. Last thing I want to say, man, when you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting the same results, man. And the whole thing is, you got to change the formation. You got to change everything about this. Because if you keep going with the same formation, the same plays, they're keying in on it. And they're going to keep stopping us. And the last thing, you don't get God involved, we're going to keep losing.
Well, and they haven't gotten him involved in a while. Will, we appreciate it. I mean, people keep expecting these big Goddard games. They just don't happen. 215-592-9494. Big Hughes breakdown next. Going to tell us if there's any hope for this pass rush here. Plus, more of your calls. What hit you from the game? Blame game. Who do you blame most for it? It's a collapse. I mean, that is a collapse to lose that football game the way they did last night. 215-592-9494. Midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Last call. The offer is almost over. All FanDuel customers can bet $5. To get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one. number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hey, take it from YouTube and YouTube TV with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon at a market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you could cancel anytime. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP.
Last week, Kirk Cousins looked like he was a washed-up NFL quarterback with a bum Achilles. He goes 20 of 29 for 241 yards and two touches. With the game on the line, we got a quarterback that's a statue back there. Where is all this money that Howie has spent on this pass rush? Non-existent. Couldn't sniff Kirk Cousins with the game on the line. That's an embarrassment to this defensive line. Embarrassment to that pass rush.
Embarrassment.
I don't even know what kind, like, you know what I'm talking about, what kind of cologne he wearing. You didn't even know he had on cologne. You weren't that close.
No idea. They had no idea. Kirk Cousins, who we saw last week, couldn't move, was just sitting back there waiting all day. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, as we react here. Let's also hear from Ruben Frank last night on Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis.
Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis have been huge disappointments through two games. Just not making plays. Just been invisible.
With less to do with the scheme than what you just said?
I mean, scheme's changed, but the product hasn't. I mean, Jalen Carter was pretty good last year. Jordan Davis wasn't, but I haven't seen anything. I think Jalen Carter had one decent pressure tonight. As far as run stopping, I mean, there's nobody stopping the run on this team.
At all. I thought it was as bad as the pass rush.
And I also believe we saw when Cousins had time, he could pick apart the secondary.
Yeah.
Hugh, I got to tell you, that clock is ticking on Jordan Davis here. It is ticking.
I still believe in Jordan Davis, man. I know I'm probably the only one in the city.
The last man standing.
Listen, tremendous amount of respect for Seth and the guys that he played with, man. And I know Seth knows football. I don't know what's going on over there at the NovaCare. I don't. I don't know what Coach Hurt is doing. Not trying to blame Coach Hurt, but I see – like, when I'm watching film, because it's on right now, and it's on a loop. The only person I see playing old school football that I recognize is BG. Like, from the line of scrimmage, shocking, getting separation, seeing where the ball is, two-gapping, if you will, at 36 years old. Just basic fundamentals. Dipping, ripping, like two-gapping, getting them off your body, seeing where the ball is going, shedding the block, getting to the ball carrier. These other cats, man, like, I see the power. I don't see the push. Complacency. That's the word that I can use.
Oh, that's a strong word.
Like, it's like I'm looking at Jordan, and it's like it's okay. It's not okay to be blocked by two people. It's not. It's not. I don't know on any planet where it's okay. Like, everything that I saw them do at Georgia to put them in position to be first-round draft picks. I ain't seeing it
No, we're not, and you're not either. All right, we'll come back, Hugh. Let's talk about those edge rushers in a few minutes. Let's accept phone calls and then what you're seeing with the edge guys who are not getting near the quarterback. 215-592-9494. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Who do you blame the most for last night's Eagles loss? Sirianni, the defense, play calling, Saquon. The defense getting the brunt of the votes today. 44%, 31% are with me on Sirianni, 17% of the play calling, 8% decided to vote for Saquon and the drop. Jeff in Wilmington. Hey, Jeff.
Jeff.
What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
What do we think of Jeff?
All right, so first of all, I would have taken the points in that second drive when they got – that was so deflating when they didn't score points on that drive. I mean, Saquon was just ripping and running, 10, 9, 8 yards every time, mm-hmm. and then they get down there and they can't get in. And yes, he should have caught that ball, but I don't think they should have been throwing the ball there because at that point the clock is what you're playing against.
Yep.
You have a lead. You know that if you run 40 or 50 more seconds off of that clock, the less time they have to go down because your defense stinks. Let's face it. You need to use that clock more than anything. And I don't know what Sirianni's doing, but he's not doing too much. He's making some wrong decisions. And, Hugh, if I get up on that defense as a luxury hill with you, we might have to throw hands. Because, look, dude, I hear what you're saying, but you have to have at least a good defense. Yes, a great defense is a luxury. I'll give you that. But you have to have at least a good defense, and they got to at least touch the quarterback at some point, especially a guy who most likely wasn't 100% with his legs.
No, I agree with that, but
you know
it's still – but the point still stands is because I look at it like this, Jeff, and I know everybody's mad at me for saying that.
Yes.
But
I need to be mad at someone today.
No, but the point still stands. I said before the season started that you have to help this defense out. I said that.
All right, so all right,
and they have to play with a lead. You put them in a bad spot.
And Jeff, we appreciate the phone call. Okay, so I agree with you. And they'd be better. I mean, certainly be better if they're up 14 points, right? They can maybe pin their ears back and rush the quarterback a little bit more. But last night, the Eagles ran the football pretty well, right? The Eagles ran the football Let me find it. They ran it 37 times for 186 yards. They won time of possession 35-24.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, the defense has to stop someone.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But at the same time, going into this game, because we all did the pregame, what was our point totals? 28 to 20-something, something
like
that?
Yeah, I think I had 26-21, something like that.
And they barely came close to that. If you play, if the game skews differently, because I look at it like this, Joe. All night long, you call plays that made, as the game progressed, made the Falcons feel like they could hang with you, made them feel like they were on the same tier as you was on. You know what I got a whole lot from yesterday? People telling me how much better the talent is offensively than their talent and how much more talented we are. Exactly.
Didn't look that
way. You allowed that team that we all felt going into that game yesterday, you allowed them to stick around and feel like they could play with you, so much so that in the fourth quarter, it was third and what, two or whatever it was, they felt ballsy enough to go for it, and they made it. You know why? It was funny because that was when I was on my way out to build, and Mike Quick said on the broadcast, the only way you go for that play is if you're trying to win the football game. And guess what happened? They won the game because it's your fault. Your fault that you allowed them to stick around. Teams like that, we was all talking about, they're not that good. Step on their neck then. Make them realize. You know what my coach used to say? If they're bad, beat them because they're bad. They weren't that bad. I tried to tell you. They weren't that bad.
Yeah.
I did try to tell you.
Well, yeah, so
I think we look worse and the Falcons look better, though.
No, but it's the bottom line is this. Again, the game plan, and this is what I was trying to say. Okay, I understand that Devontae Smith is our number one target in the situation. Okay, who makes up for that AJ miss? Britton Covey?
No.
No, seriously. No. I'm not picking on Britton Covey.
No.
You try to spread the ball or Kyle Calcaterra?
So
like those guys?
To your point on this, after watching it for 3 hours, if you think there's a big talent gap between these two teams, your eyes are different than mine.
Yes.
It didn't look that different. It didn't. Bijan and Saquon are the same thing. They're both dynamic backs. Cousins outplayed Hurts, and they're probably even in terms of like where they are in the standing of the league. I don't know, 12th, 13th best quarterbacks. Like they're not great, but they're not bad, and they could certainly score some points and do some good things. Different kind of quarterbacks. The Eagles' line is probably better on offense. Their defense is better. It was an even game.
Riddle me this. And I understand that there are some that feel like, well, he's only been here a couple weeks. You traded for a first-round draft pick.
Jahan Dotson.
You traded for a first-round draft pick. You know how many times he touched the rock? Once. You told us in a press conference, and I'm just, I don't know, again, what the practice is or what they're doing, but you told us that he's ready to take that step. Like, that's what you got him for. This is the reason why you traded for this man. You traded for this man that's a first-round draft pick for this situation, just in case. You got him the ball one time. But guess who got the ball six times?
Britton
Covey. And again, not picking on him. Kyle Calcaterra touched it twice. Dallas Goedert. Three catches for 38 yards.
You know what those guys
who
have?
Who do you think? You know who I think should have touched the ball a little bit more? Dallas Goedert.
I agree.
Maybe Devontae Smith. Look, hey, how about Jahan Dotson? You traded for him. Get the man involved.
Doesn't that feel like that's a problem with Dotson just not being that good? Jalen was spreading the ball around.
If the Eagles are the all-name team.
No.
If you took the names off the back of their jerseys and you said, Joe, or anyone listening, watch these players, are they good? I'm not sure, guys. I'm really not. Like Nolan Smith, he's a name. Jordan Davis, he's a name. Jahan Dotson's a name. Are we sure they're really good NFL players? I mean, Hugh, I'm with you. It's shocking that Jahan Dotson couldn't get the ball. Was he open? Was Jalen just not throwing it to him? Like, or maybe he stinks.
I've been to NFL practices, and I kind of know how often I didn't play offense, but I kind of know how they go. You get him involved.
So you're saying the plays where they designed it for Covey, design it for Dotson.
Why not?
Because I'm with you on that.
No, I'm saying why not?
The Covey stuff wasn't like he was just open. They
designed plays for Covey. They ran that screen for Covey.
Yeah, you could put Dotson in that spot. Think about it like this.
You're designing plays for Covey, and you're having we talk about how small Devontae Smith is. He's out there blocking for Covey.
I know. I saw that.
Did y'all see that?
Dotson blocking for Covey, too. I don't think Dotson's that good.
But Kyle, my thing is this. Let's find out. You targeted him one time. Like, Kyle. You know there's such
there
a thing
be a
as,
reason for that.
Kyle, but you know there's such a thing as game planning for somebody, right? You know that if I wanted to, even if he doesn't understand my offense.
So you mean to tell me the coaching staff is stupid enough to just forget about Jahan Dotson, where he can't get open? Listen to what
I'm saying. If you want to feature somebody in this offense, you can do it. All you got to do is get some plays that he's comfortable with.
Yeah.
And let him run those.
All that being said, and that I don't disagree with that, and maybe he just stinks too on top of it, they could have won the game. I mean, Saquon catches the ball, they win the game. If the coach doesn't throw the ball there, they knock 40 more seconds off. If they go for the fourth down after the drop, they may have won the game there.
I'm looking at this block that, bruh.
It's a mind-boggling loss. Better than Britton Covey.
No, hold up. This Nolan Smith chip block.
Oh, I saw when he got knocked by the running back.
That's the one where you'd be like, "We got a bleeder. He's not gonna make it."
This team. All right, let's go to John. What's up, John?
He's not gonna make it.
Hey, John.
Guys. Hey, Hugh. You taught me a long time ago to kind of watch the game a little differently. So all I do is watch the line play. Probably also your only caller who has an authentic Hugh Douglas Jacksonville Jaguars.
No. Wow.
You should do anything for us.
Jaguars, Hugh, but you taught me to watch things differently. So I got two questions for you, and I know you've got some ties to Atlanta, so maybe I don't understand. Who the hell is Ross Dwelly or Charlie Werner?
Ross Dwelly?
Yeah, and Charlie Werner. I don't know. Names do not ring a bell. Those two guys are the tight ends on the Atlanta Falcons who were set up one-on-one with no help as tight ends on Nolan Smith.
Oh, you're talking about, okay, yeah. Like Cardinal Sin have a tight end blocking.
No-name tight ends blocking our edge rushers, John. No names.
I have two questions for you, Hugh. First of all, is it acceptable in any kind of formula of defense to have a no-name second-string tight end allowed to take your edge rushers completely out of the play?
Let me tell you like this, John, and this is the philosophy that most defensive linemen, you know, adopt. I don't care if his name was Tony Gonzalez. Ain't no tight end supposed to block you. I don't care if his name was Shannon Sharp. Like, and those are two good blockers. Mark Bruner was a hell of a blocker. Now, that he was a different animal.
Gronk, great blocker.
Gronk was a different animal, but it's considered a cardinal sin to be manhandled by a tight end. And to your point, like, there was a lot of manhandle. It was a lot of one-on-ones on the tight end being blocked. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what they're coaching over there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the left tackle is taken on Huff, all right? So one-on-one, which I think still is unacceptable. But on the right side, they had a tight end with no help taking on Nolan Smith all by himself. No help, not even a hint of a running back help. And they had no problem because he wasn't getting anywhere near him. Second question I have for you, and maybe you saw it different. I didn't. Did you see at all last night any edge rusher running a stunt at all? And if so,
they stunted. I saw Sweat. He did I think it was a TE or ET where he came inside. So they did a couple stunts. They were stunning. The biggest thing that stuck out to me last night watching the game, nobody got off a block. Nobody Everybody got engulfed. Everybody was swallowed up. I know that sounds weird, but it's if you watch it, they were just like out there giving big hugs. Nobody got off a block.
It's like Velcro. John, we appreciate the phone call. How about that? John has a Hugh Douglas Jaguars jersey. All right,
that's crazy.
All right, Hugh, I need your breakdown here of the edge rushers. What are you seeing? Because I know it's only two games, Hugh, but I'm sounding the alarms on this thing. I don't see it. Hugh, what do you see?
Nobody, like, just watching. Like, I'm watching on two fronts now because I see where Baldy's breaking down and where that chip block took Nolan Smith all the way out.
Goodness gracious.
Nobody's getting off the blocks, man. Nobody's in the passing game. Nobody's getting off the blocks. Nobody's setting the edge in the run game. Nobody understands. There was a lot of times with Bijan Robinson, everybody runs cutback. That's the staple of the NFL. They would cut the ball back, Joe, and the defensive end wouldn't be at home. He would either be up the field or he would get washed down. And they were just running off the edge all day long. Nobody, it almost feels like, and I don't believe this to be true because of Coach Fangio and what they're teaching. Nobody understands the concepts anymore of setting the edge and being the last line of defense for the secondary players. And another thing that I don't see is guys standing at home, slow playing it, coming down the line of scrimmage, looking down the line, making sure that nothing's coming back. Nobody's playing simple, fundamental football. That's what's killing this defense right now. It's like almost like you got 11 individuals out there that are not playing as a cohesive unit. I'm looking at the tackles a lot of times. If the one tackle is getting double teamed, the other tackle is not coming down the line of scrimmage. He's getting scooped. They're cutting off run lanes. They're not staying on the same line. The one thing that I remember when I played was even though you lined up, your gap was constantly moving. What I mean by that is if they double teamed Hollis and they pushed him down the line, I have to close regardless. If he's getting washed, I have to keep that lane integrity. What I mean by that is I got to come down the line and make sure that I don't widen that hole for them to run through. They're not doing any of that. Some of those holes were so big yesterday you could drive a Cadillac through them.
Oh, it's easy. It looks easy to run the ball against them.
It's like, man, like nobody, no, like I said, nobody's getting off blocks. It's almost like they like being blocked. Like they're using the block as a respite. Like they're just taking a rest period. You got to play better than that, man. You got to play better than that.
Well, they do. Unfortunately, through 2 weeks, they have not. 215-592-9494 is how you join us here. Biggest blame for last night. Who does it go to? I have serious, serious alarms bells going off about this pass rush. I don't see it. The Bryce Huff thing, I mean, Kyle, we've gone through this a lot with the Eagles. They've signed many free agents that have worked. They've signed some high-profile ones that have not. I'm getting serious Nnamdi and Byron Maxwell vibes from Bryce Huff.
It's almost like
I'm not there yet. I'm not there.
Cute, buddy.
I know. And listen, I'm going to be the guy on the island. No, who's that? Jeff wanted to throw hands.
Yeah, you better watch out
for
Jeff.
I want to throw hands. No, man, I can't do this anymore, Nolan Smith.
I think a lot of this stuff is fundamentals, man. I really do. Like, fundamentals.
Don't good players have good fundamentals bad players don't?
I think some people feel like they're skilled. They got the skills to pay the bills. I feel like some people don't feel like, you know, certain things need to be done. Like I said, BG, watching him. Only guy out there shooting hands. And what I mean by that is when you on the line of scrimmage, you're locking guys out to see where the ball is going. Yeah. Nobody doing that.
Can I push back a little bit on the skills and the coaching and all
you
that?
You can push back on whatever you want to
push back. Well, I like to do common denominator themes here. Kyle, let's do this. Common denominator. We all agree BG's still the only one playing well. You know why? Because BG's really good. He's a good football player that knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Vic Fangio is supposed to fix the Nolan Smith situation. Vic Fangio is a good coach. It's the same thing as it was last year. Think about how many coordinators we've had now in the last few years, and they can't stop anybody. Maybe it means they can't play. Vic Fangio didn't get dumb. Sean Desai at one point people thought was smart. I don't know if he is or not.
So you're just saying we got some bad players?
Yes. Matt Patricia won Super Bowls. Okay?
There's clearly a lack of talent on this.
Jonathan Gannon. Like, Jordan Davis has had four defensive coordinators. He can't play. Four. I'm tired of hearing coaching. He's had four coordinators. Make a play. The only play he made last night was when he stuck his hand up in the air and Cousins threw it at his arm. Otherwise, that's a 15-yard catch down the field because no one could cover. Jordan Davis, Kyle Hamilton was the next pick in the draft. He's an all-pro. How many coordinators do we need until we say, can't play?
One more.
Okay.
Okay. One more.
I want to make sure we got that.
No, I hear what you're saying, Joe, but he's flashed. I just don't like. I believe that for whatever reason, it's just not come together. I don't know what that is, man. Because I'm sitting here watching the film, and you see the talent that they have, and it flashes at times. They just haven't put together the whole thing yet. They really haven't.
Well, that's for sure. They have not.
But are they ever going to?
I think so.
Dude.
I know. I'm still holding out hope, man.
I know. But, like, could I get, like, a tangible reason as why these guys, like, besides you hoping and believing?
Because it's fun to, like, dude, like, when I tell you, like, Kyle, trust me when I say this, and I know I might sound idiotic because I know you're getting thoroughly irritated. But a lot of this is fixable with fundamentals. Why do you think BG's playing? BG is not the most athletic guy out of all these guys. BG, at this point in his career, is probably the least athletic.
So I hear you on that, but shouldn't Vic Fangio over the last 2 months have taught this?
Again, don't know what's going on.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a guy that can't hit, and we keep cycling out hitting coaches. At some point, you can't hit, man.
You can't hit, yeah.
We did this with Scott Kingery for years. Maybe it's Gabe Kapler's fault. Maybe it's the hitting coaches. He can't hit.
Every day at practice. Every day, from my memory, we worked on pass rush. We worked on technique.
Yep.
Like, every day. Like, that was so much so that it became, like, a part of you. Like, you just instincts. They were just instincts. Play with your hands. We used to say, because we weren't the biggest defensive line, we have to play low and we have to play with left.
And you did it.
And that's what we did. These cats don't play with any leverage. Bryce Huff is out there hugging people. He's a Care Bear. He's out there giving out free hugs.
$51 million for a Care Bear.
A $51 free hugger.
Oh, goodness. Greg in the Northeast. Hey, Greg.
Joe, Hugh, what's up, man?
What's going on?
We're just trying to figure this thing out, Greg.
Man, I can't. I'm going to quote Dennis Green here. They're not who I thought they were. I thought we were coming back this year. Our defense looks the same. I feel like I'm watching Groundhog Day. Like, it's the same stuff. Bryce Huff, man, setting the edge is a fundamental coaching point, and it's taught all levels of football. So can we do like baseball does, and if someone's not doing well, we send them down. Let's send Huff down to Pop Warner so he can learn to set the edge.
I'm in.
Pop Warner.
I mean, I don't know. The weight limit might be off on that. Because I don't know if you can play with the kids. But, Greg, they got to figure something out here. And then the head coach has to figure it out because the decision-making doesn't make any sense to me.
No, not at all. But, again, we're talking about the same stuff. I love BG, man. He's the best. But this morning on the morning show, we're saying the same things we were last year when we fell apart. Like, something's got to change.
Well, you know what I've noticed, Greg, over the years with sports? Players say that when they don't know what to say. I mean, and I'm not putting words in BG's mouth, but when a current player, and we appreciate the call, doesn't know what to say, they're going to say, well, we'll figure it out. We got to figure it out. Because a current player is not going to say and doesn't want to believe, maybe they're just not good enough. And I don't expect BG to come on the air. I don't expect him to believe that, right? He's a current player. He's got to believe in himself and believe in the team. But at some point, this is what they are. 215-592-9494. We'll get to the other story coming out of last night's game. Some not great news about one of our best players came out during the broadcast last night. We'll hit that next. More of your phone calls. Who do you blame the most for a collapse? A big one. Last night at Lincoln Financial Field. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I like him as the third receiver. He's going to be elevated as the number two guy opposite of Devontae Smith. With A.J. Brown down now tonight, and what sounds like again next week.
Again next week. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley. Yeah, we had a little news on the broadcast last night, and that is A.J. Brown. Hugh, this was not just a one-week thing. This is a multi-week thing. Hopefully not too serious, but as they said last night after talking to A.J. and the team, this is a more than one-week thing. So he's out for the game coming up against the Saints. The question is, when do we get A.J. back? Hugh, just based on the schedule, it will not surprise me if we don't see him until the Cleveland game because they have New Orleans, Tampa, then a bye. So the way I view it is with that bye after the New Orleans-Tampa trip,
yeah.
If they're cautious, if it's a two-week thing, we probably don't see him until the Cleveland game in week six.
Yeah. You want to take as much time as you possibly can to try to get him as healthy as you can during this course of the season. So, I mean, the good thing about that is we'll have enough time to get, Britton Covey up to speed. So he can contribute a little bit more.
Maybe he gets 10 catches for 40 yards next week.
Maybe.
The Covey throws really burned you up last night.
Well, no, it was just like, you know, like you're looking at it and we made this big to-do about Jahan Dotson and how, you know, we needed a third receiver. And we all speculated that Covey probably would be involved in the receiver core.
Sure.
But it's like, okay, the play that really got me is when they ran the screen and, like, dude tackled him with one arm. And he, like, it was like, you know, like if my son jumped across the room, across the bed, and I caught him with one arm. That's like, normally most times you ain't supposed to be able to do NFL players like that. It just kind of bothered me a little bit. And then I look at Jahan Dotson, and, you know, this is supposed to be, had a pretty decent season with the Commodores last year. And I would think that even though he's only been here for 3 weeks, that you would have tried to get him a little bit more involved in offense. That wasn't the case.
No, it was not. 215-592-9494. What part of this team you blaming the most for last night? Is it Sirianni, the pass rush, the play calling, or, of course, we have ourselves the drop by Saquon Barkley? Let's go to, is that Doc Leon in Cherry Hill? What's up, Doc Leon?
Yeah, hi. Doc Leon here.
How you doing?
I met you guys briefly when I was doing some advertising with Angelo about a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah. How you doing today? What are you feeling?
I'm doing well. And since then, I've been listening to you and realize how smart both of you guys are.
So I
think that there's an intellectual problem that we have here. You bring Saquon in, you pay $35 million for him, but you don't address what his problem is, drop passes. They do anything specifically. I mean, it's not a physical thing that drops the pass. It's psychological or something. I mean, why would you drop that pass? Did you hypnotize? Did you do something to help him not drop as many passes?
I don't know if they worked on it. But man, we could try it.
We didn't went way too far.
Well, we want to win, Hugh.
And we didn't.
You
we
do
win.
What you have to do
welcome
to win.
The WIP after a bad loss.
we didn't win way too far.
We're hypnotizing Saquon now.
Okay, wait a minute.
Well, no, I agree. There's no reason to drop that pass. We got to fix this.
Wait a minute. Now we hypnotizing cats now. That's what we're doing.
What? I mean, why would he drop? Why is he the guy who's dropping the most passes? Physical ability.
Here's the statistic that is a fact. He has the most dropped passes of any running back since 2021. Well, he does.
So how about this?
He does, right? Is that wrong?
Well, okay, he does, but it's misleading because his drop rate isn't like he doesn't have the number one drop rate of any running back since like whatever. He got a lot of volume. The Giants had nobody else to throw the ball to. Like, they gave the ball to Saquon all the time. He's not like a drop pass machine. He has a very similar drop rate to Puka Nacua, who has 100 more targets than Saquon Barkley. Like, if I told you dialed that play up, the throw, to Puka Nacua on a 3rd-and-3, you're expecting him to catch it, right? It's the same exact deal.
So that's somewhat fair. Though, don't you think it's probably harder to catch a ball 30 yards down the field than 3? Running backs generally get shorter passes. They should be catches.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if you're looking at a drop rate for, like, they're, like, 100 more passes for Puka Nacua. And Puka's not a downfield receiver, by the way. He's more of a short guy, gets some yards after catch, like tough to take down guy. Should be sure-handed. Like, I'm just saying, like, you don't factor in the fact that Saquon Barkley is like a quote-unquote drop machine into not calling that play.
Okay, I'll meet you in the middle. When I say he has the most drops of any running back since 2021, it feels strong. He should be able to catch that pass. My point is he's not the most sure hand. He's not Brian Westbrook. He's not Marshall Faulk. Right? There are some great receiving backs. And Saquon is a greatly talented back and a great runner. I don't think he's a great receiving back.
But it's also
back.
Not a tough catch.
He was wide open.
I understand that. But like that's why I'm upset with him. Like that was a very easy play that would have iced you the game. You would have won the game if Saquon would just catch the freaking football.
Or you could have ran it and ran a little bit more time off the clock.
No.
Well, you could have.
I understand you could have, but they also could have run and gotten stuffed 2 yards in the backfield.
Yeah, but the clock's still running.
I think we're talking way too much about the clock. The Vikings
what do you mean?
They went down the field in 4 plays.
No, but what do you mean?
They were scoring no matter what.
Kyle,
the clock
40,
didn't matter.
I disagree.
You got 40 less 40 seconds.
40 seconds
on the clock.
Is a lot of time.
Okay, but then now take this. If you go for it on the 4th down like you want them to and you don't get it, guess what? It's only a 3-point game. They only need to go like 40 yards to get in a field goal run.
But you also you
the
don't
clock
lose,
doesn't
you,
matter.
But you don't lose on that.
No. So no. So here's
you
the
don't
thing.
Lose if it's a field goal. They tie the game and go to overtime. No,
so you said earlier you don't want every decision to be independent. You want it to be more linear. I could not disagree anymore. You have to have a feel for the moment. What's going on in the game?
Well, yeah, okay, the
so hold on.
Felt,
well, hold
run
on.
The ball.
Wait, if we're doing feel for the moment, early on,
you should have kicked that field goal.
Yeah, you don't have AJ Brown in the red zone. You're going for a 4th-and-4. What's the feel there? There's no feel. That to me is AJ, he looked at his chart. Okay, let's go for it.
AJ Brown's not the only weapon on the team,
says,
though.
Who's the weapon in the red zone?
Yeah.
They don't throw to
Saquon Barkley, Dallas Goedert. They have guys.
You know what I said earlier? That sometimes we have to move the names away and just say, what do they produce? How long do we think Dallas Goedert is still a top 10 tight end?
I get that.
He doesn't do anything.
Okay, but we're worried about scheming up things for Jahan Dotson. Why not scheme up something for Dallas Goedert, who's been here for freaking years?
I know. I'm just saying, like, as time goes on, when do we stop expecting Goddard to be a big weapon? He's not.
I understand that. But, like, we talked all this offseason about how many weapons they had on offense. Now A.J. Brown goes out and we have nothing. Like, we need to get real, dude. They have plenty of guys on this team that can catch passes in the red zone.
But this offense
should be completely crap without A.J. Brown.
They threw it at Britton Covey three times in the red zone last night.
When they spread the ball around, we're all mad that they're not giving it to the best player. But when they only give it to Devontae and A.J. last year, now we're all pissed off at Britton Covey. We just talk about both sides of our mouth all the time.
I'm not pissed off at Britton Covey, but I will say this. Last year, Britton Covey caught four receptions for 42 yards. Guess how many Jahan Dotson caught? In his role.
This is Johan Rojas. Leave Covey alone.
I'm just saying.
I am tired of people crapping off Britton
Covey. I'm not picking on him.
You are. That's all we've been talking about today.
No, I'm just like, why is he touching the ball six times?
He's getting open. Dotson isn't.
And you got another receiver. You know how many times Jahan Dotson touched the ball last year? 49 times. You know how many yards?
Dude, the Commanders have no weapons. He was their number two.
Okay, he was the number two. He's the number two here.
No, he isn't. He's been here for like 2 weeks.
Can I make a suggestion?
He was the number two last night.
Last night, Brent Covey was the number two.
May I try to bring the group together on a suggestion?
No!
Okay, I'm going to try. Saquon, you could spin the numbers any way you want. I don't think he's the most sure-handed pass-catching running back. All right, that's number one. Number two, Dallas Goedert doesn't really do anything anymore, so let's just all take a deep breath on there. Number three, Britton Covey stinks, all right? I agree with you on that. How about who's their best receiver last night? There's one answer.
Dotson?
No.
It was Devontae.
Devontae. Yeah. Why isn't Devontae getting the ball?
Didn't he get 10 targets last night?
But shouldn't seven last catches? Right.
You can't just constantly, like, what do you think the Falcons' defense is focusing on?
Why can't you? He has seven catches.
Because A.J. Brown's out and the Falcons are going to scheme to stop Devontae Smith.
But you knew that going into the game, though, Kyle. You got to still try to feed
him. That's why Covey got touches. Covey, they had to spread the ball around.
Then if you're afraid, you're number one last night, can't get open in the red zone, kick the field goal early. On third and three, if you're going to throw to Devontae Smith.
I'm sorry, Saquon was wide open. This whole thing about they don't have targets in the red zone, they did. Saquon dropped a touchdown that would have ended the game. Just hang on to the ball.
Well, it wasn't a touchdown. It very easily
could have been. It was at the least a first down that iced the game. And Saquon Barkley is one of the best guys at making people miss in football.
He can make
at least one of those guys
miss. Run the ball. Do you forget what city you're in? I always ask this question. No. Run the ball.
He wasn't going to get the first.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
He was easily going to get the first.
What are you talking about?
I'm watching it.
They just hit that same play earlier in the game, and guys were... He was easily getting the
215-592-9409. We are losing it. You know who else is losing it?
No,
the head coach. They've blown more leads than any team in the last 2 minutes, the last two seasons. There's a common denominator. It's the coach, and it's the quarterback. We'll get more on that. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. It's the Midday Show on a Reaction Tuesday. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.